In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the King, Scott Engel, and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Happy waiver wire day. If you're scouring that wire, taking a look at how to improve your team, if you're 2-0, feel good, but don't stop. If you're 1-1, you're still in a good spot. If you're 0-2, you're not desperation yet, but you got to climb out of that basement. Corey Parson, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, Greg. How are you doing this morning? How's everything going? Coming off that long night for you last night, watching the Giants get their ass handed to them. I know that was tough. I was very enjoyable to me. My son Eric Ebron got in the end zone. Matthew Stafford, who I own everywhere, threw 2 touchdown passes. So I kind of helped me salvage week 2. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
Salvage.
Sure.
Salvage is not the word fantasy executives like to use when it comes to talking about his football teams. Right? I like to be like dominant, not salvage. Salvage is the guy sitting next to me.
Good morning, Mr. Salvage.
It's nice how you salvage your reputation after I beat you last week. Yeah. Interesting game last night in terms of Matthew Stafford. You know, you look at the passing yardage, and he really didn't put up a lot. But I thought he played a really, really game. Well, good game from an NFL perspective, and I think Matthew Stafford, like, you know, actually, I'm going to do something where my colleague doesn't. I'm going to give him credit and respect him because he said, if you want to wait for a quarterback, you know, go with Matthew Stafford. He was right. I think there's more good performances for him going forward.
Matt, good morning, sir.
Good morning. And one of the things I take away is Amir Abdullah has been in this league for how long? This is his third season. And last night he had a career best 86 yards.
That's crazy, right?
Well, he missed all of last year.
Okay.
You know.
He needs to get on the field.
He's hanging on the field.
Third season.
I thought Amir Abdullah actually was really, really good for Detroit last night. He was breaking a ton of tackles, finding a lot of room to run against a soft Giants linebacking crew. And it was clear, as Corey just mentioned, the linebackers remained an issue for the Giants as Amir Abdullah ran all over them, getting to the second level. And then Eric Ebron dominated. I know there were some question marks, much like Hunter Henry, when it came to Eric Ebron after a rough week one. But the Ebron matchup was not good for Detroit against Arizona. Arizona, I believe, is the toughest against tight ends in the NFL. Ebron faces New York, a much easier team. That's a really nice game.
It was, and I posed the question yesterday, and I was being serious. I do own Ebron as well. If he didn't perform last night, but at the half I tweeted out, you know, through 6 quarters, the Giants had given up between Witten and Ebron 34.1 fantasy points in a PPR.
Absolutely disgusting. And listen, week 3, they face Philadelphia. Zach Ertz coming to town to face against the Giants. Zach Ertz is going to eat.
Yep.
Zach Ertz is going to continue to eat. Yeah, everyone does this Ezekiel Elliott thing now.
Eating.
Yeah, Carlos Hyde did it last week, too.
That's why I said everyone had Carlos Hyde. There's a bunch of running backs that are doing it. They're all confident in your guy.
Well, no. I don't mind. You know what I'm saying?
Carlos Hyde tackled somebody on an interception.
When you eat, and that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes when I was, a couple months ago, when I was drafting teams and the team would be good, I'd just be sitting at the computer
If you click it and eat it.
Yeah.
He was actually puking last week against me.
Oh,
let's take a break.
Good one, Scotty.
We'll
good
one, Scotty. Giants game, the Giants blows, and also getting your waiver wire calls. That's your way. Next, here on the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Rodo Experts in the Morning, and listen, we can all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to 3 guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Rodo Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Rodo Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. All right, so last night, Monday Night Football, Giants and the Lions. We're going to get to that in just 1 second because you called somebody out just a moment ago, Corey.
Yeah. called out Kenny in Philadelphia.
Well, I think it's only right we give him a chance to respond, don't you?
Yep.
Kenny in Philly, what's going on? You're on the Roto Experts in the morning.
Good morning, Dave, Bishop, Frankie, Scotty, and unfortunately, Corley.
All right, good morning. Good morning.
I've said it often myself before.
Kenny, I remember you. I remember when I would trash Adrian Peterson, Kenny, you would call up here and you would say, watch, you go and see. Kenny, please, do you own him on a fantasy team, Kenny?
Actually, yes, I do on one, yes. You he's on the bench, he's not starting, but yeah, yes, I do own him.
Cut him. Cut him, Kenny, it's over. Cut him, Kenny.
It's week two, I mean, we have a quarterback, and that might not be a bad option to do that. Yeah.
Kenny, the guy started the season with a 9-yard run. That's going to be the best run of his career. I mean, of his season.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Sorry, Kenny got bad connection again.
Got Adrian Peterson's cell carrier.
Let's go back to the Giants here for a moment. Because you talked about Adrian Peterson being done and cut. Well, I think you could maybe be able to say to Brandon Marshall. Because listen, yesterday, the offensive line of the Giants is a major issue. Eli Manning being able to throw the ball is a major issue. Eli Manning being able to move out of the pocket to do anything is an issue. But when he got the ball to Brandon Marshall, few and far between, and he had more targets, obviously, last night than he did in week one, Brandon Marshall didn't do anything with them. If he caught the ball, which was rare, he fell down. If he dropped the ball, which was common, it went nowhere. Is Brandon Marshall done?
Like I was saying, Chris Wesseling of NFL.com, who also tipped us off about DeMarco Murray, said he looks like Andre Johnson in his final year with the Colts.
I'm open. No, you're
but
not.
Here's the thing, though, that I don't think they're going to cut him yet. Let's see.
The Giants not going to cut him. Should Fanny's off?
I don't care. Scott, the Giants cut him.
Scott, why would the Giants cut him, Scott?
What?
Why would the Giants cut him?
Why not? Just throw up the white, the blue flag. But fantasy owners, I think they should cut him because I feel like you can't cut him just yet.
I'm not a Brandon Marshall guy. I don't really own him anywhere. But you got to at least give him a chance to play with Odell. I know he dropped a terrible pass last week. Was invisible week one. You do need to see how the offense is with a fully implemented, healthy Odell Beckham in there, not playing on certain snaps and stuff.
Yeah, but here's the thing. This guy's been a superstar wide receiver for years, right? Now, look, I originally thought what you thought, but you know what? If Brandon Marshall had anything left, he would step up when Odell's out. I'm not very confident when Odell's in there. I think, and I was saying it during the first hour, I think the Giants' pecking order in pass receiving is going to be Odell, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram.
I think you got to get off the entire offense outside of Odell Beckham. Everybody else on the New York Giants? Yeah.
I think when Odell comes back, Sterling Shepard is going to be more open.
No, it's just going to be Odell. It's going to be like last year. It's just going to be
Sterling
Odell.
Sterling Shepard scored 9 touchdowns last year.
He scored 8. But that's true.
Whatever, 8, 9. He was good.
I get that. But when are you going to feel comfortable putting him in your lineup? And that's the thing with Brandon.
Roster him as a wide receiver for
you. Rostering him and putting him in your lineup is two different things.
If I have an injury and a bye week, I am very confidently putting Sterling Shepard in there.
I don't use the word confidently. I don't think that's correct.
I said bye week or injury.
Do you see that offense?
I'm not. Yeah, well, I see it. Believe me, I see it. But I'm not just here. Here's who I want in the Giants' offense. Okay, I want Odell Beckham because I think he gets healthy. It changes, right? We're agreement with that.
Yeah.
Matt's right. I want Shane Vereen, too.
That's true.
I want Shane Vereen because they cannot run the football. They're just going to continue to dump it off to Shane Vereen. So I want Vereen as well as pass catching back. And after last night, it was kind of confirmed what I think, what I thought. I want Evan Ingram also because I think Ingram up the seam is going to be a thing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he is. I can the red see zone, it. Too. But you can't tell me Sterling Shepard's not rosterable.
I'm not saying he's not rosterable. I asked you, would you feel comfortable putting him in your lineup?
On a bye week or with an injury, yes.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. I don't see a comfort level. Here's the thing with Brandon Marshall. This is the interesting part with Brandon Marshall, right? I agree. Put him on your bench. Don't cut him. Here's the problem with Brandon Marshall being on your bench. Every week you're going to think, you know what? This is going to be the week. I'm going to put him in there.
Are you, though?
And it's never going to be the week.
I don't know that you're going to feel that.
I almost feel as if, do yourself a favor and cut him and let him be somebody else's headache.
Yeah, I
need to see him this week first. The Eagles with Odell playing a full set of snaps. And then I'll make a full of that. Look, I don't really own him anywhere.
Yeah.
I pretty much was anti-Brandon Marshall, yeah, but I'm not going to cut him. If I spent whatever it was, say a six-round pick on this guy, I'm going to tough it out another week, and I do want to see this matchup and how it plays
out. Makes a lot of sense, you know, but it all depends on who do you cut him for. If it's like, if you're sitting in a league...
Would you cut him for Jermaine Kearse?
Would I cut him for Jermaine Kearse? Yes, I would. And you know what, though? You know what you're going to see this week? Brandon Marshall's going to get cut. You know what's why it's going to happen? We were talking about at this very table. People are going to cut Corey Davis. You're going to cut Brandon Marshall to pick up Corey Davis if that happens.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I think you can cut other people before you go to that route and making that move. You feel what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm just playing it like...
He's a cut candidate.
He's definitely... Right now, he's on a fantasy roster bubble, Brandon Marshall. Yeah. Because the offense looked terrible, and he looked like he might be washed. You feel what I'm saying? Like, he's getting his last couple checks, then he's going to slide into the media part of the game. You feel what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I think he's on the bubble. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you got 16 roster spots, and you got 4 or 5 bench spots, and Brandon Marshall's taking up one of those spots, I don't know if that's a good look.
Yeah, it's a very, very tough situation for fantasy owners who, like, and I've said this a lot about Andrew Luck, right? I want to cut him and make it somebody else's problem, waiting and waiting and waiting. Brandon Marshall's costing fantasy owners because you're playing him. And
exactly.
That is what is crucifying you right now. And if he has a good game next week, you'll put him back in your lineup, and he'll kill you again. This is the issue here with Brandon Marshall.
I don't know if a lot of people started him in week 2, though, after what he did in week 1.
He is not line-upable, if that's a word or
Scott,
not.
Scott, I need to keep pointing out, you know, Odell Beckham not really playing, and Matt, you want to give Marshall a chance when Odell does fully get back in there with the snaps. But I'll say this. The two defenses the Giants have faced, the Cowboys and the Lions, aren't exactly top-notch defenses by any means.
No,
and the Giants have been able to do nothing against either of them.
That's why my reaction was first cut him. And then, you know, Matt made a lot of points as we talk things through. Like, why wouldn't you step up against those secondaries?
Look, you paid draft capital here. I understand you want to cut him. Say you cut him now. I think this offense does improve. As bad as it looked, I think there's no way to go but up. I think it will improve. It's week 2. I'm not going crazy. I'm not going to, you know, change all my beliefs that I had going into the season.
Understood.
Half the league has terrible offensive lines. Let's be honest. I mean, half the league, the offensive lines are pretty putrid. So I was not a Marshall guy, but I'm not getting rid of him just yet.
Half the offensive lines are putrid. Giants certainly being one of them near the top. But the problem is Eli Manning cannot survive the putrid offensive line. Russell Wilson can, right? He has the ability to roll out and move around. DeShone Kizer, to an extent, can, because he has the ability to move around and get the ball off. Carson Palmer and Eli Manning, and I made this comparison last week, they do not. They are immobile quarterbacks. So with the brutal offensive lines that both Arizona and New York have, they are not going to be able to survive this.
But here's the difference between Carson Palmer and Eli Manning, and maybe you see this improve with Eli Manning because of his experience. Carson Palmer was getting rid of the ball quickly.
Yeah.
Eli Manning was not.
Yes.
Because there was nobody open without Odell Beckham there. The Lions could just keep everything in front of them, you know, defensively, play a shell up top and just keep everything in front of them. Nobody's open, and let the front four and, you know, maybe an extra guy or two with the pass rush. When Odell comes back, I think things open up more and he gets rid of the ball quicker.
Here's my question, Greg. You are the Giants fan at the table.
Yep.
Going forward, the next 14 games, how many do you think the Giants win?
The schedule over the next 5 games is incredibly tough. Like, it's a very, very bad schedule for them. Over the next 14 games, 4 or 5, honestly. I mean, being pessimistic, after I thought they were going to win 10 games, and everyone at this table picked that they were going to win the division. So, you know, I think that there needs to be a lot of changes, and there needs to be a lot of improvements along this offensive line in order for the Giants to start winning football games. And that's just a fact. Let me read you guys this. And this is my buddy just said this to me. Brandon Marshall responding to people on Twitter last night.
Oh, here we go again with these fantasy football fools going at people on Twitter after they had a bad game.
It's just not going to stop.
Somebody tweeted at Brandon Marshall, LMAO, you're garbage.
was that at the fantasy exec?
No, it wasn't. Millions of dollars. I wouldn't do that.
He said, come see me.
Ooh.
The guy responded, stop dropping Eli's passes, bro. He said, matter of fact, I'm going to come see you.
Oh.
Where you at?
Oh.
He said, on my couch watching you drop passes.
That's pretty funny. Though.
That is pretty funny.
It is pretty funny when Corey made this point during the frenzy. I get to go at the park and interview players during baseball season, and this is why some of them say they hate fantasy sports because people attack them on Twitter. And I say, we don't, you know, people in the community shouldn't do that because without you guys playing, we don't even have a hobby.
Eli, another guy said, high point the football, you F. He said, come say that to my face. Seems like Riley Harris will not do that. We're going to come back here on the Roto Experts in the morning, and let's get into some waiver wire fun. Who are we targeting at running back? We'll tell you next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
So we're back here. All the Roto Experts in the morning. If you lost a running back this week, you know, DeMarco Murray left for you. Jordan Howard. By the way, the update on Jordan Howard, Mike Florio tweeted this out or retweeted this out last night. He finally interviewed with the media, and he hadn't talked to them in a while. And he basically came out and said, listen, I was getting treatment with Tariq and Zeke to you guys. I'm fine. My shoulder feels the same as last week. I'm going to play this week. I can totally coexist with Tariq Cohen. We're going to open up holes for each other. The running game's going to get better. And, like, got to be honest with you, as a Jordan Howard owner, it made me feel a lot better. It really did.
Him sitting up there lying to you made you feel better?
Yes.
Well, you're saying that now, but I did hear you yesterday in Best Friends Forever saying you'd trade him for Tariq Cohen.
I would. I still would.
You can't be feeling too good. I'm just... You
know. Well, I still would, but seeing these quotes from Jordan Howard... I'm just being honest with you. Made me feel a little bit better. I'm going to read you the exact quotes because I think they're worth it when it comes to Jordan Howard. I don't want to talk about the players to replace him. Okay, here we go. Jordan Howard says, I've got to do better. My shoulder, I'm good. He hurt his shoulder in week one. Very, very early in the game. In regards to Tariq Cohen, he said, quote, it could open things up for me. In regards to why he struggles sometimes, they just have you schemed up very well. I've got to make catches. He said that basically he hasn't talked after games because he's been hurt. I don't have any doubts at all about putting this all together. We can definitely coexist on the field at the same time. That's in regards to Tariq Cohen. I already knew what he could do. Everyone else just didn't know.
See what it sounds like? It sounds like it's starting to creep into him that he is about to not be the man. You feel what I'm saying? He's like, oh, yeah, I knew I seen him before. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he got a little game to him. So, like, yeah, when I seen him, I was like, yeah, he all right. You know, he's like, you know what I'm saying? He's like,
you want to know what he's like? He's like, Tariq Cohen had 28 snaps week one. He had 39 snaps week two.
Yeah, exactly. So he's like, yeah, I know we was going to have to coexist. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know sometime he'd be with her at night, and I'd be with her in the day. So it's you know what I'm saying? He's coming to grips, Scott. That his lead role is going down the drain, and that he's a part of a band now.
Somebody just tweeted at me. I read the tweets.
We have an open relationship.
In regard to the Brandon Marshall tweets I read a moment ago, the person that was tweeting about this tweeted at the wrong Brandon Marshall.
Tweeted at the linebacker.
Oh, that makes it even crazier.
Tweet that out last night that the linebacker Brandon Marshall was going to receive all these
and he did.
Wrong tweets.
It's not the first time in his career it's happened.
I'm sure not. Yeah. Same name. It's hard.
Yeah.
All right. So you have Jordan Howard. You have DeMarco Murray. You have some of these running backs that have gotten hurt. We obviously have to look at the waiver wire to replace them. Last week, Tariq Cohen, that paid off. Buck Allen, that paid off. Kern Williams, not so much. So where do we go this week, and how much do we spend? Of course, if Buck Allen is still there, some reason you go up. Now,
go get him.
You go get him now, right?
Go get
Tariq
Buck Allen.
Tariq Cohen is still there. You go out and get Tariq Cohen. We know that. The odds are they're not there. So my number one guy on the waiver wire this week when it comes to running backs is Chris Carson, Seattle Seahawks. Matt, you said, listen, pump the brakes a little bit on calling him the man. But Chris Carson, by far, in the first 2 weeks, has looked like the best running back in Seattle.
Oh, without doubt. I mean, I liked him. I liked him in preseason. I drafted him in the GST. You know, I have him on a couple of rosters, but I'm just a little hesitant. It's I want to see it more. I'm not saying I'm going to go out and bid on this guy. I'm going to bid on him. I'm not blowing 50% of my fab on him.
How much will you blow on him, Chris Carson, Scott?
I think he is the guy.
Yep.
Like I said, we've seen throughout Pete Carroll's Seattle tenure that he doesn't care how much you've signed in a contract, where you've been drafted. If you're the best guy, you're the best guy, and he's been the best guy throughout the preseason, too. And the first two games. So let's say it's a $100 budget and you really need running back help. I would bid $40, $45, $46 for him.
So you're going
but I have to exercise caution here, though, because the role is there, okay? I'm not going over 50. The role is there. But the offensive line is not good, okay? When you watch that game, for the first three quarters, there was no balance. He got most of his rushing yardage in the fourth quarter when the defense was worn down. I'm not saying you take that away, but Chris Carson's not going to be a guy that like consistently going to rush for 100 yards and a touchdown or two. There's going to be 50 yard games. There's going to be 60 yard games. I think he's an RB3.
Yeah, but you're not going 50, but you're going like right below.
You're going 46.
So
it's too high.
You're pretty much
that's too high. What I'm saying is to give it some perspective is if I knew Chris Carson was a surefire guy that was going to put up big yardage numbers every week, I'd be going over 60.
But that's not the case with that offensive line.
I just said that.
Yeah. But still, 40 is too much for that offensive line. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to Carson, the offensive line it stinks. So okay, Seattle historically the past couple seasons, they progress and they start to get their offense rolling as they get into the second half of the season. So let's just say they do that again this year. You can't drop that kind of bag for Chris Carson playing behind a bad O-line. Don't get me wrong. He's the best they have now, but there's probably better options on the waiver wire.
How much would you spend for him then?
I would spend 22-24-ish.
See, but if you spend that much, okay, maybe 46 is a little much, but if you spend 22-24, I don't think you're going to get him.
If you don't get him, I mean, then
somebody's not going to agree with us, and they're going to be aggressive.
Here's just an example. Say you don't get him now, and say 2 weeks from now, Devontae Booker is still on the waiver wire, and CJ Anderson goes down, and you have that opportunity to put, 70%
there
or
you
whatever
go.
You got to put, 80% on that.
Then you do something like that.
That's why I said 46.
And then you
got to
understand,
70.
Like, but taking these phone calls every day, what I notice is a lot of people are playing in 10-team leagues. So, Tariq Cohen, still on a ton of waiver wires. Javaris Allen, still on a ton of waiver wires. Derrick Henry is only owned in 70% of ESPN leagues. You feel what I'm saying? So
that's the guy I go all in.
There are players out there that you can pick up at the running back position in the majority of leagues. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think we have to dip this low quite yet.
In a 10-team league, there's always going to be something attractive out there that you can't have. It's like going to a gentleman's club that just opened and nobody knows about it. Like, and you're there's all these attractive ladies out there. You can't have all of them. You're on a budget, and you're going.
Scotty and his singles. He's like,
you know what I'm saying? So. And here's the other thing, too. Not everybody plays with Fab, too. So you got to be careful. Is Chris Carson, like, he's probably the top of your
If that was the best running back option on the wire, if like Cohen and Allen are gone in a 10-team league.
What if Cohen's still there? Cohen or Carson?
Oh, I'm going Cohen.
Yeah.
I'm going Cohen as well. But
in a standard, are you going to Cohen?
I'm going Buck Allen.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, Buck Allen's there.
Are you going to standard? Are you going Cohen over Carson?
Yes. Yeah, I am. But anyway, if Carson is the only one that is out there, I will use my number one waiver claim on Chris Carson. I absolutely will. But other running backs that could be out there, certainly in the 10-team league and arguably the 12-team league, depending on how deep the league is in Washington with both Samaje Perine and Chris Thompson. Rob Kelly has fractured ribs. I don't know. I thought he doesn't have fractured ribs, Rob Kelly.
It's all kind of different reports on Rob Kelly.
It sounds like he avoided a major.
Yeah, like he's going to be all right.
Okay, so there's conflicting reports, clearly. Because I had read last night when I put this together that he had fractured ribs. Maybe it's a little bit different.
It's all good.
We'll see if he's able to play Sunday. Nevertheless, whether they're fractured or not, Chris Thompson, Samaje Perine, and Washington both going to play major roles here. These two guys very well could be out there on waiver wires. What are we doing, Corey?
The kid Thompson has 13 touches of the football. right, mm-hmm. on the season mm-hmm. with three touchdowns. Mm-hmm. It's not going to always be like that. In the PPR, man, it's so risky putting these dudes in your lineup because the week when he don't go off and have these big games, he can have 2 for 29, and you're going to have that 4 points in your lineup. If you're in a standard league and this, you know, we don't think the Kelly thing is going to work, the P. Ryan thing, go ahead. Make it happen. He's probably people stashing him, so he's not available in a lot of leagues.
But a lot of leagues he is.
In the standard, I'm going to be more aggressive on P. Ryan.
Yeah.
In the PPR, look, you're 100% right on Thompson, but Thompson does have that defined role in this offense.
Yeah.
I think this is another offense that will continue to get better.
Do you think he'll start getting more touches? That's what I want to know.
I think he's a guy that could, you know, see more passes. I don't think he gets the rushing attempt.
Yeah.
You know, but I think the passes will be there for him.
Listen to this. All right. Injury report on RotoExperts.com. We are currently calculating a grade 2 injury, an indication that he's dealing with a non-displaced rib fracture. The optimal recovery time is 5 weeks. He could play sooner than that, but it would need to wear extra padding and would be an increased injury risk. Right now, he is a very risky fantasy start.
Samaje Perine and Corey, you know, you said he's not out there, and a lot of leagues people are stashing him, but you have said, listen, you're not buying this Samaje Perine thing, so in leagues that you play, he could be out there.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if he got the job, like the inside injury is saying, if Sun missed 5 weeks, then he's a starting running back. Then you go get him. You feel what I'm saying? Now you go get him.
Sure, absolutely. I'm with you on Chris Thompson. Dude's got 13 touches, 6 of which came Sunday. I know he looked explosive on them. It's just not going to be a consistent thing.
It's not going to be consistent. You put him in your lineup, he's going to drop that dud on you, then you're going to be tweeting at him.
Yeah, but Chris Thompson's a guy like in PPR. He was going in that same range as like a Shane Vereen guy.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Absolutely. Okay. Other running backs could be out there. I mentioned Alvin Kamara last week. I think the same holds true for Kamara.
I like him.
Kamara's the guy I'd be more aggressive with. I think that role is going
to
grow.
I'd rather have Kamara than Carson, to be honest with you. PPR.
I think I would.
You know, that guy is big in the passing game. He's going to get carries too. He's versatility. I think he's locked
Sean
into
Payton
a role.
Seems to love this kid. The way he talks about him, it's like his first child.
They're throwing 50-yard bombs to him downfield. They're giving him wide receiver routes.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about him getting carries too. He had one carry last week. Chris Carson, 20.
They fell behind though. The first week he got touches.
I
like him in the passing game.
I understand, and I agree. I would rather have Chris Carson, personally. That's on me. Other running backs could be out there. Mike Tolbert, of course, backup to LeSean McCoy. Deontay Foreman, Jalen Richard, two guys I want to talk about. And then Chris Johnson, if you want to do the Arizona thing. We'll come back and talk some wide receivers and answer your telephone calls. 844-843-6879. It's Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. All right, so the last few running backs I wanted to mention before we get to the wide receivers. Mike Tolbert, back up to LeSean McCoy. He's out there.
Fat boy.
Sure. I have no interest.
Deontay Foreman could be out there. I remember.
I like that.
Now, let's remember, he played Thursday night. So people kind of forget what happened Thursday night because it was so long ago. It was 10 days ago. Deontay Foreman's out there. Go get him. Don't wait until he explodes.
Go get him.
I would say so, you know. That offensive line is bad without Dwayne Brown. Mm-hmm. They need somebody to ease pressure on the quarterback. Lamar Miller needs an offensive line that's going to blast holes open for him. Foreman is a guy that can create his own running room and just looks more spry than Lamar Miller.
I'll say one thing about Lamar Miller. He did seem to get motivated in that second half after watching Foreman.
Yeah, so, I agree with that.
You look at the second half numbers and stuff.
I agree with that.
I still don't like Lamar Miller, but
Jalen Richard, who has looked good in limited touches.
He has. Every
time he touches the ball, he looks good. And then is anyone doing this Chris Johnson thing in Arizona?
No. Oh, man.
Okay, fair enough. That's not your silence.
I really don't know what you want to own any of those Arizona running backs. It's just like it's a mess.
Before we get to the wide receivers, let's take your calls. 844-843-6879. Let's go out to Nate in New York. What's going on, Nate?
What's up, Nate? Good morning, Nathaniel.
How you doing?
What's up with you?
Man, hey, I got a question for you. So,
a trade question.
Okay.
All right, so my boy, he got the number one waiver pick this week, and he looking at Carson. I see y'all not too heavy on Carson. So he said he'll get Carson and give me Doug Baldwin for Keenan Allen. What you think?
So if he picks up Carson, I don't see how one affects the other.
Yeah.
But if he's picking up Carson, right, he get that waiver slot, he get Carson, give him a little bit of debt, whatever, then he's going to trade you That's a wash trade at wide receiver.
Yeah.
I don't like the way the Seahawks offense look now. I would hold on to if you getting Keenan Allen. I mean, I think it's a wash. It's a wash. You're not doing nothing.
Here's one thing too. Then you got two shares in your starting lineup of the Seahawks offense.
A bad offense.
You don't want that right now. Not with them going to Tennessee this week.
Well, his man is the one that's going to be getting, his homie is the one that's going to be getting Carson. Not really his thing. I think he was the Keenan Allen owner. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, and he's going to give up Keenan Allen and Baldwin.
It don't make no sense.
And then he's also going to get Carson.
No, Carson will be on the other guy's team.
Yeah, I'm confused, be honest.
Carson will be on the other guy's team. I am confused. It's not the first time.
Yeah, I was like, you're right, it's not the first time. I was like, why does Corey think he can beat me in fantasy football? He's 5-10.
Let's move on to the wide receivers here, guys. Let's move on to the wide receivers. And the number one name there's two top names that I have seen out there on waiver wires this weekend for wide receivers. That is J.J. Nelson in Arizona, and that's Rashard Higgins in Cleveland. Let's start with Nelson. Now, Nelson, of course, Matt gave the stat up before how good he has been over the last five games for Arizona. Why don't you give it to us again here?
Off the top of my head, I can't give it to you right there. I wasn't prepared for it, but I can search for it in a minute or two.
So
here with Arizona that I do want to mention, I did see a tweet last night. I think it was one of the RotoViz guys. I'm not sure. But they were saying something about David Johnson possibly being back by week 8. One of them, I guess, was touting that earlier. I haven't heard anything else about that. I was just wondering if anybody else has. Well,
I have heard that he's not going to play again this season.
He can't be back by week 8.
No, I've heard he's not going to play again this year, that he is done, period.
Well, he's also not eligible to be back week 8. He has to miss 8 games.
Okay, so week 9, whatever it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it'd be week 10. That'd be week 10. So, I haven't heard that. Anyway, but JJ, when it comes to J.J. Nelson, are we interested?
I think you have to be.
It could be better options.
Yeah, he's been the guy there of late. The stat I had was dating back to the last five games. I think he's led them in pretty much targets, receptions, yardage. He's got four or five touchdowns.
Yep.
And when you compare him to what Larry Fitzgerald has done, and Fitzgerald really hasn't done much, and that was a major disappointment this past week. That was a phenomenal matchup. He had a good matchup even in week 1. So it's how are you viewing Larry Fitzgerald going forward? The narrative's always been Fitzgerald falls off in the second half over the past couple of seasons as he's aged. I mean, playing in the slot has prolonged his career, but I mean that's another. And now you don't have David Johnson, so that's something you got to consider.
Here's the positive and the negative. Larry Fitzgerald's not going to threaten anybody deep at this point in his career. So Nelson's that guy can take the top off of defense. Okay, in terms of scheme, if he wants to go downfield, that's his guy now. But when John Brown comes back, or if and when he's there, that kind of muddles things for him. So that's, you know, that's what you have to worry about.
I look at some of the other cats on the wire that still could be out there. Kendall Wright could still be out there. I like what he's going to be able to get volume-wise. Kenny Golladay could still be out there. I like his chances of touchdowns, especially in the standard league. If you start to see him break into some more two wide receiver sets, that's a good thing. An injury opens up a ton of new targets for that young man right there. Like I said, Kendall Wright, J.J. Nelson, obviously the player we're talking about, he's going to be out
there. Curse could still be out there.
Jermaine Curse will be out there in a lot of leagues. He's going to be number one wide receiver for the New York Jets. So that's the way I would look at it with some of these players that are still lingering on waiver wise, like some of those guys that I mentioned. I think Jermaine Curse is the number one option at wide receiver this week.
So, how much
are Allen Hurns, too. I would go in on Allen Hurns. And Marquise Lee. Both of them are probably still out there, too.
Okay.
But Hurns is lower owned. I would get a piece of Hurns because Hurns can... you could say the touchdowns is fluky, but Hurns got a nose for the goal line, if you ask me.
All right. So, I'm glad you named all these dudes, which is fantastic. But how much are you spending on them?
It depends on which one it is. So, if I'm in on Kurse right now, it depends on my situation also. How bad is my wide receiver bunch? You feel what I'm saying? If my wide receiver bunch is in shambles, you feel what I mean? Then I'm going 30%. I would top out at 30% for Jermaine Kurse.
Top it out at 30% for
Jermaine Kurse. Highest bid. Take it or leave it.
Scott?
The underdog's on top.
I'm going to probably say about 22 for Kurse.
I'm not going hard in 20%. I think the week to get Kurse was last week.
Sure.
And that you got him for nothing pretty much. Austin Safarian Jenkins is coming back. We kind of were looking forward to him for week three.
Sure.
See how this offense. But, I mean, look, Kurse had one touchdown last year. He's got with Seattle. He's got two already this year. It was a good matchup with the Raiders as well. So
He's getting a ton of targets. He got a ton of targets in the first game, too. He's owned right now. Jermaine Kurse is only owned in 6.5% of ESPN leagues.
Josh McCown feels like he's the only guy, like, this is a veteran guy that maybe I can trust. He's the only guy out there that McCown feels he can rely on.
Oh, y'all, is anybody doing a Nelson Aguilar thing?
I'm only putting a couple dollars. Look, he got that touchdown. It was his only catch.
They're going to throw a lot, though.
That's a good point, but I think it's going to be Ertz that's going to.
He's the number one. You got Jeffrey.
I mean, they have gone to Torrey Smith. I mean, he's got to make some catches here, but they have gone to him. But I mean, it's Jeffrey.
He didn't have a terrible game.
It's Torrey Smith. Yeah. Torrey Smith is third in the NFL in air yards, so it's a lot of volume in Philadelphia, and they're throwing the ball deep down the field to him. He's viable, but he's 12-man team, 20 roster spot.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's like, you know, Jeffrey and Ertz, they're going to get theirs. And it could be Smith or Aguilar in any given week.
Guys, you mentioned, of course, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee. Big wide receivers, of course, for Jacksonville. When they're in garbage time, they're going to benefit. They're the number one and 1A wide receivers there. You mentioned Jermaine Kurse, number one wide receiver, clearly, in New York at the moment. That brings me to Cleveland. Corey Coleman broke his hand. Kenny Britt is clearly on the outside looking in. He seems like he can get cut any day now. He's given up. Rashad Higgins is the guy that had this monster game over the weekend and seems to be the major benefactor of this injury to Corey Coleman. How much do we spend on Rashad Higgins on the waiver wire this week?
I'm probably probably going to go about $19 for him or something like that, maybe a little bit below Kurse. It's going to be interesting to see who steps up there because Kenny Britt's just lost out there. Like some of the young guys like Kaysen Williams and Rashard Higgins have to step up. Somebody has to catch the football there.
Well, what I'll say about Higgins is, you know, Jake said he was the future. I've seen Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. He seems excited about him. I mean, the guy got activated off the practice squad on Saturday and got hit with a ton of targets. So it has to be something of interest, I guess. Maybe... if I'm desperate for a receiver, maybe if I lost Coleman and I have somebody else that's banged up, maybe 20%. But I think that's very aggressive.
Depends on your situation, and I'm in the 17 to 20% range, depending on your situation.
Okay. Those, I mean, Jermaine Kurse, Rashad Higgins, two guys I think very similar in that the bad teams, lead wide receiver. So I'm interested in both of them.
Don't forget Kendall Wright in that same kind of situation.
And Kendall Wright, absolutely. In the same type of situation, he could be out there as well. All these guys are just going to get work because no one else
is
there.
No one else is there. The team is playing from behind. And garbage time is just as good as regular time. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt about it.
Sometimes you got to get that last straggler at the ball. You know what I mean? You just can't walk into the spot every night and walk out with a superstar. Sometimes you got to wait for that straggler.
She got to even drop some pills in there, too. By any means necessary.
Let me get to the tight end position. You mentioned Austin Safarian Jenkins coming back for the New York Jets. Is Austin Safarian Jenkins that you should be picking up?
Yes, definitely, because we talked about Kurse. Here comes another guy with experience that Josh McCown say maybe I can rely on, you know, especially in the red zone. You know, Kurse and Jenkins were castaways elsewhere. and, you know, could end up being the top two pass catchers for this team. Because you look at other guys like Kadarius Stewart, you know, and Hanson, they're not ready to contribute.
Look at what Jack Doyle did this week.
Sure.
Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, what he was able to do. So I think the tight end will have a role here.
A couple of other tight ends I want to talk about before we wrap up the show and send you inside the fantasy football frenzy. We'll take a break. Roto Express in the Morning wraps up right after this.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Few minutes here of the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You know, Corey, Matt, and Scotty gave you some good wide receivers to check out. Let me just run down a couple of other things that we just did not get to here. Devin Funchess, you mentioned earlier. Matt, you're going to give one last chance to.
Yeah, he's got to be a person of interest right now with Olsen going down. I mean, look, the Carolina Panthers, kind of their wide receivers look like tight ends. You know, you got Benjamin and him. They're not very fast, big guys, plotters, but I'm going to take one last shot with Devin Funchess.
Look, Funchess could be a 5-catch, 50-yard type of guy because, like, he strikes me as a type of guy who just Newton will throw it up to him, he'll catch it, and he'll get tackled right away, you know, but he'll be open for about 7-8 yards.
The Seahawks, Tyler Lockett, caught 6 passes in his last game. Tyler Lockett, somebody we should be looking at,
no,
Scott.
I'm not going to be doing this.
Okay.
You know, Richardson, look, has trouble staying healthy. He missed about the entire first half because he had a broken finger. Once he got into there, though, you know, for the game winning throw, that's who he went to. I think it was also schematically how they drew it up for Lockett. I don't think you can rely on him at all. If you pick up Lockett, you're just going to cut him again.
I wouldn't mind him as wide receiver depth. I stated, he was, last year everybody loved him. This year he was so far down. Look, we understand that wide receiver 2, Scott, in Seattle is hit or miss. But this is a guy that is talented, so I wouldn't mind him have as my wide receiver depth.
He's a good NFL player. As a fantasy player, I think you're going to have to say I'm going to cut him again if you pick him up.
Let me bring in my buddy Jake Seale, the Olin kid, who will be on the Fantasy Football Frenzy as he is each and every day, coming up next with Matt Modica, Corey Parson. Hey, Jake, are you interested in doing the Tyler Lockett thing again?
Not especially. I mean, a little bit similar to Matt, but also with Scott, and this actually put him in my waiver column this week, but I put him along the lines of Kendall Wright and Mohamed Sanu as guys we've seen before. The fact is the Seahawks like to rotate that second wide receiver at times. Scott's right. Paul Richardson's still in the mix when he's healthy. Lockett did flash what got everybody excited for last year, and there is potential maybe if Richardson is dealing with an injury or maybe he overtakes Richardson. But as of today, we've seen Carroll do this from time and again. He doesn't always put the same wide receiver on the field all the time if he is the number two. That's just how he's always done it. So it's like I said, it's Kendall Wright, Mohamed Sanu, Tyler Lockett. All those guys are kind of in that same range. We'll all take a flyer, but I'm not expecting to get a wide receiver 3 out of them.
Hey, Jake, who is your number one wide receiver on the wire this week? We mentioned some guys a couple moments ago. Who's your number one guy?
For under 60% owned on Yahoo, which is what I always use, I'm still putting Danny Amendola there. I know that he was hurt and he missed last week, but if he's healthy with the fact of how he played in week one when he was supposed to be on a quote-unquote snap count and he was the new Julian Edelman, and the fact that Hogan's banged up and Gronkowski's banged up and they don't have wide receivers to throw together at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if they signed Jalen Strong, honestly. I'm still putting him out there. If I can go pick him up and just be able to – maybe he misses this week again and just make sure he's 100%. If he's healthy – he's going to give us wide receiver three value. He's just the fact of what he can do with Tom Brady.
And Jake's waiver column is up on rotoexperts.com this morning, along with Joe Galinas, part of the exclusive Edge In Season Fantasy Football Package. Enter free radio at checkout for a special discount. You'll also get Jake's weekly projections later this week as well.
Yeah, you absolutely will, and I look forward to Jake's projections. Correct, your projections, Scotty, which we're going to look at, or your rankings rather, which we'll look at, of course, later on in the week. I mentioned Austin Safarian and Jenkins. Corey, one last tight end I do want to ask you about, and you mentioned him yesterday on the program. That's Ben Watson. You said, listen, Ben Watson is the truth. Do this Ben Watson thing. Are you going to stand by?
I mean,
that?
Don't get me wrong. I know Ben Watson is 60. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I get it. You know what I mean? The age thing is you know, I don't want to be an ageist. You
He's
know what I'm saying?
He's a Republican too.
Yeah. Why? We got a place for him in the clubhouse. All right. So, with Ben Watson, you know what I'm saying? 60 years old, but Joe Flacco likes to throw the football to the tight end. He's the best tight end in that situation. I put a dollar on Ben Watson.
For more from Corey Parson, the fantasy executive from Wall Street, Matt Modica, and from the Olin kid, Jake Seeley, Fantasy Football Frenzy is next. From Matt and Corey, and of course, the King, Scott Engel, my name is Greg Sussman. Thank you so much for watching the Rest of the Morning. We will see you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. Bye-bye.